Armed with Truth is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome to Armed with Truth, a podcast for youth. I'm your host, Lisa Bruneel. My goal here is to empower the youth of today to become a sin-resistant generation. You youth are bombarded by Satan's temptations on every side, especially when it comes to immorality, lust, and pornography. I want to talk about truths that can strengthen you, safeguard you, and bring greater power into your life through the Savior Jesus Christ. Let's get started and be armed with truth. Today's episode is all about the truths surrounding our souls and how remembering these truths can strengthen us. Ask yourself, what is Heavenly Father's personal message for you right now in this episode? The Holy Ghost will testify to you of the exact message Heavenly Father has for you right now today. Recently, I looked at an Instagram post from a teenage girl. The post was a pretty picture with a clever and cute caption, something simple. As I scrolled through the comments mindlessly, I saw message after message focused only on her body. There were several comments about her being hot, so hot. 3 or 5 fire emojis and tongue emojis, comments that said things such as body goals and I want to be you. I've seen similar things before, but for some reason, it just really struck me this time. All the communication to this girl about her pretty picture was focused on her body. I didn't see a single message focused on who she actually is, her talents, abilities, her kindness, only comments about her body. We truly live in a day that is image-focused and image-driven, and living in that kind of society encourages us to dismiss one of God's most beautiful doctrines, the doctrine of the soul. To really understand the doctrine of the soul, I want to start by talking about truths surrounding our Heavenly Father. God is the supreme creator and author of the plan of salvation. We worship Him and we pray to Him. He has all knowledge and all power, and He has a tangible and glorified body of flesh and bones. He has mastered all of His physical appetites, passions, and desires to become perfect in every way. He loves us with a love that is so powerful that it is described in the scriptures as that which is most desirable. He is the Father of our spirits, and we are His children. And all of these same truths about Heavenly Father are also true about our Heavenly Mother. Our heavenly parents have learned to always use their agency to choose good over evil, and they are creators of worlds without number. Now let us think about the knowledge we have concerning our own spirits. We existed even before we came to earth, before we received bodies. We were literal sons and daughters of heavenly parents. Every person who has ever lived, every baby ever born on earth, is our spirit brother or sister, all of us, children of God. And we were not simply cloned, but we were individually created with different talents and abilities, different strengths, different weaknesses, all as spirits. We learned truth at the feet of our heavenly parents. And when we had learned all that we could in the spirit world, our Heavenly Father presented a plan for our further progression. Do you remember in a previous episode when we talked about our pre-existence and how we shouted for joy when we heard Heavenly Father present his plan? The plan where we would get bodies and come to earth and have an opportunity to grow and learn and become like him? A veil covers our minds now, and we cannot remember our life before we came to earth, but our Heavenly Father knows us intimately. He has chosen the specific time and place that we would be born, where we would be born, and into what families and circumstances we would be born. He knows what lessons we need to learn on earth and what experiences we need to have that will allow us to become like him. And because of our individuality, we were all sent to earth to accomplish different missions. We came as souls, a spirit and a body, together combined into one, to continue along only the path to progression. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland said, "One of the most plain and precious truths restored to this dispensation is that the spirit and body are the soul of man, and that when the spirit and body are separated, men and women cannot receive a fullness of joy. Certainly that suggests something of the reason why obtaining a body is so fundamentally important to the plan of salvation in the first place." In the Doctrine and Covenants, we read, "And the spirit and the body are the soul of man." So, we wanted to have souls. We wanted to progress, to fulfill our potential, and to become like our heavenly parents. And to do this, we had to take the next step. We had to be born on earth and receive that other component of our soul, our bodies. We had to be given agency to come and be tried and tested, and to learn to use our agency to choose good over evil, and to learn to master our physical bodies. Our physical bodies are sacred and beautiful gifts. They are literal miracles. Growing up, I loved science of any kind, but I especially loved learning about the human body. I also happened to be a miracle baby who survived open heart surgery, but that's a story for another day. I mention it now only to say that my science interest, combined with my personal history, ignited a desire inside of me to become a heart surgeon, and I wanted to learn every thing I could about the human body. That's what I set out to do in college, and I loved every class that brought me more knowledge about the human body. Now, before I go much further, I better just let you know right now, in case you're wondering, that I didn't end up going to medical school, and I'm not a heart surgeon. But that's really because I wanted to be something else even more than I wanted to be a heart surgeon. And that something else was to be a mom of 100 babies. No joke, I really did want 100, my sister and me both. I'm sure there are a lot of amazing women out there who could be both a surgeon and a mother, but for reasons known to Heavenly Father, that was not the right path for my life. I did, however, graduate from Brigham Young University with a degree in zoology. Now, when I say zoology, it just always sounds kind of funny to me, like what I really studied was learning how to run a zoo. And considering that I have 8 children in a pretty crazy household, that wouldn't be far from the truth. But what I actually studied was the biology of the human body. And as a nice side note for me, my formal degree is a Bachelor's of Science degree in zoology with a human biology emphasis. It actually sounds pretty cool, don't you think? All of this talk just means that throughout my life, and especially my years at Brigham Young University, I learned a lot about the human body. As I studied, I learned amazing, miraculous, and intricate details about how our bodies function, how we see, hear, taste, and smell, how the very minute chemical balances in the cells of our muscles, our brain, and our bloodstream help us to live and thrive. The science behind our heartbeat, the way we can receive oxygen from the air through our lungs and into our bloodstream, the marvelous way that the body heals itself, the process of growth and maturing to adulthood, how our brain receives and processes information and feels emotion, how we can reproduce and make tiny humans, and so much more. I learned to marvel at the magnificence of our Creator, who designed and brought to pass such a miracle, the creation of the human body. In a 1913 sermon, James E. Talmage said, "We have been taught to look upon these bodies of ours as gifts from God. We Latter-day Saints do not regard the body as something to be condemned, something to be abhorred. We regard the body as the sign of our royal birthright. We recognize that those who kept not their first estate were denied that inestimable blessing. We believe that these bodies may be made in very truth the temple of the Holy Ghost." Aren't those words powerful? The body is truly a sacred, holy, and beautiful gift. And when I combine the knowledge of our spirits with the knowledge of the human body, my marvel and gratitude are even expanded. We are souls sent to earth to progress and become like our heavenly parents. And you and I are actually doing it. We're living out Heavenly Father's plan, the plan of salvation. We are here on earth learning and growing, being tried and tested. And through the Savior's atonement, we can become perfected and become like our heavenly parents. This knowledge, this eternal perspective, it actually answers the age-old question, why am I on the earth? And knowing the answer to this question can change everything. It gives us a whole reason for living. It can impact what we think, what we say, what we do, all of our choices. So I suppose then it only makes sense that Satan would want to keep us from that knowledge. And if we were taught that knowledge, he would also absolutely want to distract us away from it, and even better yet, get us to forget it entirely. One of the easiest ways for him to do just that is to get us to forget about the spiritual component of our souls and focus only on the component of our bodies. You see, Satan does not have a soul because he does not have a body. He is just a spirit, and this means he will never become like Heavenly Father. This is ultimately why some of his fiercest attacks are directed straight at our bodies, the component of our souls that he lacks. Satan wants us to misuse, mistreat, and desecrate our bodies, the gift that he does not have. And cleverly enough, one of the most effective ways to desecrate our bodies and our souls is to just focus on only our bodies without remembering our spirits. Satan uses the sins of lust, immorality, and pornography to accomplish this design. Using these temptations, he lures and distracts and twists and attacks us, enticing us to forget about the spirit component of the soul and focus only on the body, on the appetites, on the passions, on the desires of our flesh. When one of my daughters was in seventh grade, she got a boyfriend. It was the kind of middle school relationship that didn't really amount to all that much. You know the kind I mean, where you see each other at school and you both agree that you like each other, and then within minutes, everyone around you knows that you are dating. The relationship took place for the most part in the hallway at school and over an iPod, completely unbeknownst to me, her mother. This boyfriend was a member of the church, and my daughter really, really liked him. He told her that he loved her, and he told her that when boys and girls love each other, they send each other pictures, certain pictures, and then he asked her to send him a specific sexual picture. She didn't want to send anything like that to him or anyone else ever, but at the same time, she really, really wanted him to be her boyfriend. And she really did think that she loved him and that he must love her too, because after all, he had told her that he did. So she agonized over what to do. She wondered, is this really what I have to do to make him love me? She worried what everyone at school would think if he broke up with her. She worried about losing friends or looking stupid to all the other guys. but she also worried about her parents. She thought about the things she had been taught her whole life and how the people she loved would feel if they found out what she did. The Holy Ghost worked on her heart, and she finally made the decision to tell him she would not be sending the picture he had requested. The following day at school, he told her he didn't love her anymore, that he actually loved someone else, and that he was moving on. This news crushed her. It made her sad to think that a boy that she had thought was really great would do that to her. And people did find out, and several of the boys did treat her unkindly. And all of these things added to her sadness, especially considering she had actually made the right choice. She didn't want to tell anyone about it, and so she waited for several months, experiencing deep feelings of low self-worth, until finally all of the emotions surrounding the experience couldn't be controlled any longer, and she came to me and told me everything. As her mother, my heart really hurt for her. I was saddened for what she had gone through. I was angry at what the boy had asked for, mostly because all of these things had caused her to question her individual worth. It was also really hard to hear that something like that had happened without me even knowing about it. It made me want to help her better and do more to keep her safe and more to make her strong. I was also so grateful that she had felt the promptings of the Spirit and listened. Because of her choice to follow the Holy Ghost, she was strengthened. She was able to learn the truth that when people truly love each other, they don't have to do things like send sexual pictures. She had experienced deep and real emotional feelings for this boy, but she was also able to see that he had not experienced the same thing. The real truth is that he was looking at her as an object, just a body to get personal gratification from, just something that he could use. And when he found out that he could not get what he wanted, she was worth nothing to him. Why? Because he had forgotten about the spiritual component of her soul and focused only on her body. My daughter and I talked a lot then, and many times throughout her teenage years, about self-worth and how it actually comes from God, not from your body, not from the desires of others, not from lust. Recently, when I talked to her about this experience, she said, "Looking back on all of those things made me question if there were any good guys out there. It actually took some time for me to trust, but it also made my confidence so much stronger because of that choice and other choices in my life. If I would have chosen differently, I know that I also would have started to view myself as an object and to use my body in the wrong way, and that would have prevented me from understanding my true identity. It also would have allowed me to start habits that I know would have grown." She too was at risk for forgetting about the spiritual component of her soul. If you have been caught in something similar, you can escape those chains. You can remember the doctrine of the soul. You too can learn about the spiritual component of your soul and the true source of self-worth, which is God. Speaking of caring for the souls of others, Elder Taniela B. Wakolo invited us to shepherd our own soul as well as the souls of others. He said, "As under shepherds who seek to emulate the perfect life of the good shepherd, aren't we shepherds of our own souls as well as others?" He continued, "When we are casual shepherds of our own soul and other souls, casualties are likely. Casualness leads to casualties. I invite each of us to be a faithful shepherd." I love that quote so much. Casualness leads to casualties. The casualties he is speaking of are casualties of the spiritual war that, whether we realize it or not, we are all in. And the casualness he speaks of is forgetting about the doctrine of the soul. This casualness is not the Lord's plan for us and will not lead us to happiness or to joy. It will lead us to casualties, to pain, suffering, and bondage to Satan, the author of lies. We can withstand Satan's temptations of lust, objectification, and physical obsession. And one very powerful way to strengthen our and safeguard ourselves is to remember the doctrine of the soul. To view ourselves and others as dual beings, composed of bodies and spirits, children of God with real lives, real relationships, real feelings, children with divine worth. When we truly view ourselves and others in the context of our souls, our body and our spirit combined, we can begin to see ourselves and others as God sees us. Now, how do we actually put this in practice? How do we actually remember the doctrine of the soul on a day-to-day basis when we're just living normal life? Well, here are some ideas. Remember that every person you encounter is a child of God, including yourself. Strive to look at ourselves and others as souls comprised of spirits and bodies. View people as individuals that are living real lives instead of focusing only on their bodies. Do your best to keep from comparing your body and your body parts to the bodies and body parts of others. Make sincere effort to develop real relationships with real people. That means spending time actually talking, actually connecting with others in person, rather than only scrolling and connecting by typing comments that are really just focused on a person's body. In addition to all of these things, we can ask Heavenly Father for His help to remember the spiritual component of ourselves and the spiritual component of others, and to focus on the true worth of people. Today's truth takeaways. Our heavenly parents have glorified bodies. Before we were born on earth, we lived as spirit children of heavenly parents. To become like our heavenly parents, we had to receive a body. The spirit and the body are the soul of man. Our bodies are sacred gifts. The body and the spirit together allow us to progress and become like our heavenly parents. Satan does not have a body, and he will fiercely attack our bodies. Remembering the doctrine of the soul will bring us powerful strength in the war against Satan. So let's return again to our first question. What is the personal message that God has for you today about the doctrine of the soul? Is he inviting you to learn more about a specific truth, to make a change, or to take a specific action? As you act on the truths that you have learned, greater power will come into your life, the power and the strength to follow Jesus Christ. I can't wait to hear what you do. I'd love for you to share with me on Facebook and Instagram at Armed with Truth Podcast. Keep coming back. Heavenly Father has so much more in store for you here on Armed with Truth. Thanks for joining me here today on Armed with Truth. As we learn truth together, we become more valiant disciples of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a stronger part of His battalion, and a truly sin-resistant generation.